Are we on?
Yeah.
All right, let's do this Svasta. Beautiful Svastamas. And it's a 1 point. I'm going to go through a few different places where you see this point. But the point itself, you know, what we're learning tonight is one clear point. The point that, very understandable. It needs to be, not, it's very understandable, but we don't always think of it like that. So let's go like this. This week's parasha, we have parasha's Korach. Now we know the story that Korach came to argue against Moshe and against Aaron, and he came with a bunch of different things, grievances that he was upset about. One of the things he said like this. He says, "Yichal ha'eda kulam kadoshim." He says the entire assembly is all holy. Ubesochem Hashem, and Hashem is amongst them. Umaduatis nasu. Why do you exalt yourselves, al kahal Hashem, over the congregation of Hashem? So he came to Moshe and he tells him like this. Moshe and Aaron, and he tells him like this. You, Moshe, you made yourself the leader. Aaron, you're the Kohen Gadol, you're the high priest. You're making yourselves as if you're above everybody else. It's not the case, he tells him. The entire assembly is holy. We're all equal. We're all holy, and God is with us. He's amongst us. And what are you making this distinctions that you're higher, we're lower, we're all equal, and God is amongst us? That was one of the things he came to complain about. So, obviously, you know, on a simple level, that's exactly what it means. But we have to understand, and this is important to speak out when we're learning all these parashas, that when the Torah talks about somebody like Korach, we're not talking about a simple, unlearned, bad guy. The Torah doesn't really talk much about those people. Anybody that's written in the Torah, in general, is a big person, a smart person, somebody that could have been very great and went slightly off in what they were doing. So it's very important to realize that in general. Any person that the Torah mentions, even in a negative way, they weren't just simple, stupid people. The Torah, you know, in general, we would say the rule would be that the Torah doesn't talk about stupid people. You know, that doesn't make it into the Torah. The Torah writes about somebody, that means that there's a lesson for us to learn. That means that this person came and they were close and they could have been great and they could have been really, really great. And they made a slight mistake, and that slight mistake totally knocked them off. But when we read about Korach, he's not a simple person. We're talking about a big person, somebody who could have been very great. So what we need to understand, where exactly is the point of differentiation between Korach coming along and telling Moshe and Aaron that why do you make yourselves greater than everybody, as if there's a hierarchy system? We're all holy. We're all great. God is amongst us. What was this back and forth going on over here? That's what we want to explain. So the answer, we're going to say one point, and that point is right away, and then we're going to go on and expand on it and see different places where we see this concept. So he says like this. He said, I'm going to read you the words. He says, Ki ba'amas kol ha-kedusha. It says, all holiness, I hanem shachas milamal. All holiness is drawn down from above. From Moshe Kosev Chazal, like our sages teach us, the pasuk on the verse that says, V'hiskat dishtem, you shall sanctify yourselves, v'heyisem kedoshim, and then you will become holy. What that means is like this. Adam mekadesh atzma lamata. Ma'at. Man down here sanctifies himself a little bit. Mekachin osa malamai laharba. Then from above, they will give him a lot. V'tzarcha adam leida. A person has to know zois. This point. Ki chol hama'at kedusha shenem tzavi. All the drops and small amount of holiness that is found inside the person, it's all with help from above. Korach's mistake was is that he took that holiness which was from above and he assigned it to himself. And that's what it means at the beginning of the parasha where it says, Vayikach Korach. Korach took. It means Korach took what really was came to him from above and he took it for himself. The seven, I'll explain this in a minute. And he held, he believed, Ka'alidea Kedusha Shalamata, that through us, through our innate holiness, b'sochem Hashem, we are the ones that draw Hashem down. Here, achin lo chenu, but that's not the case. So, well, let me explain like this. It's a very, very fundamental point. There's us and there's Hashem. And we exist as people, And we know that Hashem created us. And the question is, what do we have on our own and what comes from Hashem? So we do mitzvahs, we learn Torah, we act in a way that we sanctify ourselves. What are we doing? What is Hashem doing? So this is the fundamental. The answer is that any holiness that we have within ourselves, any form of elevation, any form of becoming holy, becoming sanctified, it's all what Hashem gives the person from above. None of it is from himself. So you're going to ask, it's all Hashem gives it. So you're going to ask me a question. If this is true, so what is the person's job? If everything is coming from above, and nothing's from us, it's all just Hashem giving it to us, so what is the person's job? It means what am I doing when I do my mitzvah? If you were telling me that when I do my mitzvah, I sanctify myself, then it would make sense what I do. But if we're saying now that I don't do anything, all I do is I just, everything comes from above and Hashem gives it to me. So if that's the case, so what is my job? Well, what happens when I do a mitzvah? If I'm not making myself holy, Hashem is giving me holiness. So what happens when I do a mitzvah? What is man's purpose? What is man's mission in the world? So what do you want? Does anybody want to suggest before I say what the Tzvah Sama says? Is my question clear? I mean, what we're saying is that everything comes from above. Nothing is from us. Everything Hashem is a God-given gift. Anything we have is not from us. It's all from Hashem. And if that's the case, what do we do? What is my job? What is man's job if everything's coming from above? Is the question clear?
Yeah.
Anybody? I'm putting pressure on you.
Man's job to use those things appropriately in a holy manner and to realize where they came from and give thanks.
How does, yes, I that's definitely true. Definitely true. Hi, David.
Hello, Rabbi.
How you doing? I'm gonna recap you in a minute. I'll recap in a minute. We're not too far in. So, Josh, what I agree with you, Josh, but at the end of the day, how do I get this holiness? Does God just decide one day, let me give this guy a dose of holiness? But what did that? Who decides what?
You learn.
Right. So exactly. So let me explain. I mean, yes. That's the point. And the point is like this: when I learn Torah, what I'm doing is not making myself holy, because I cannot make myself holy. Only Hashem can make me holy. But when I learn Torah, what happens to me is that I now become a receptacle to receive the holiness from above. That is the fundamental that we're learning tonight. That means that man cannot make himself holy. We can't. We have no holiness comes from Hashem. There's no way that a human being can make himself holy. What man could do is sanctify himself. Not really sanctify himself. Allow himself to become sanctified. How does he do that? When he does mitzvah, he does a good deed and he studies Torah. What that does is, that makes him the person that Hashem will say, let me send you some Kedusha. But none of it is our own. None of it is something that I did. It's just that we allowed ourselves to receive it. Somebody who spends his entire life not following the path of God, such a person, Hashem will not send him holiness because there's no receptacle, there's no vessel there to receive the holiness. So what we're doing when we're doing mitzvahs is not making ourselves holy. We're just doing an act which says to Hashem, please send holiness to this guy because he's doing the right thing. Everything we have is all from Hashem. Everything we have is all from Hashem. So let me recap over here. What we started off saying is that Korach came to Moshe and he says to Moshe and Aaron, now why do you make yourselves holier than us? We're all equal. We're all God is amongst us. We're all the same. We're all holy. The Tzvah Sama is explaining like this. What Korach's mistake was, is that Korach knew he was holy. And he was right that he was holy. But he believed that his holiness was innate. He believed that his holiness was his own. He himself was a holy person. And God comes to him because he's holy. And while it's true that man is holy, Moshe and Aaron was trying to get across to him that you're only holy because Hashem makes you holy. It's not your own. It's Hashem makes you holy. How does Hashem make somebody holy? Why would he? When the person follows Torah mitzvah, Hashem will now say such a person is a worthy receptacle of receiving holiness that I will give. But it's not your own. It's not something that you did. I did it. Hashem did it. Vayikach Korach, Korach took. That means that Korach took what Hashem had given him and he made it his own as if it was his own thing, that he acquired holiness. And the truth is that there is no such thing. There's no such thing as a human being acquiring holiness. It's all a God-given gift. All we could do is tell Hashem that I am a worthy vessel to receive holiness. How do we become worthy vessels? Keeping mitzvahs, learning Torah. But when we do that, it all comes from above. Everything we have comes from above. This is the fundamental that was going on over here. That Korach believed that his holiness was his own. He acquired holiness. And Moshe told him, you can't acquire holiness. Holiness comes from above. All we could do is be a vessel to receive it. Form ourselves, mold ourselves in a way that Hashem will want to give the person holiness. This is, you know, part one. So far, am I making sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like this. So he goes on and he quotes, there's going to be like two, this is the point, but I'm going to bring it out in like two, three different places. So he goes and he quotes a medrash, I believe we spoke about one time, in Parshas Kedoshim. Parshas Kedoshim, which is the commandment to be holy. So the medrash over there says like this, that a Jew is obligated to sanctify himself to be holy. So the medrash has a question. Maybe a Jew should be make himself as holy as God, as holy as Hashem. Maybe that is what we should do. So the Medrash says, no, you can't do that. Hashem says, my holiness is always beyond your holiness. You can never become as holy as God. So that means like this. That means Torah commands us to become holy. The Medrash questions that maybe a person will say to himself that if I'm supposed to be holy, then maybe I could become as holy as God. And the answer is, no, you can't. Hashem is always above. Hashem is always more holy than us. So that's the words of the Medrash. Now, the problem with this Medrash is that what's hard to understand is that what was the original thought that we could become as holy as God? But what was that point that we thought? Maybe I could become as holy as God. How on earth would any human being really believe that he could become as holy as God? So what does this mean? What was that thought that maybe we could become as holy as God? And the answer is no, we can't. But did anybody at ever point really think he could become as holy as God? That sounds like an impossibility.
But don't you think that the snake suggested that to Eve, and she did eat? And I don't know whether she said, eat some of this because you could become as holy as God.
Right.
I don't know whether she repeated what the snake said. But certainly the snake said that to her, and that would have been her thinking.
Right. So
not just that, oh, I want to taste this delightful fruit.
You're bringing up a good point, Rav David. What I would say to your point is like this, that it doesn't say that the snake said that they'll be as holy as God. It said that they'll be like God, that they'll know good and evil. They'll be like God in the knowledge of good and evil. So what the snake was, it's not for now, but what the snake was referring to over there was that eating from the tree of knowledge will give the person the ability to control the world like God with the full knowledge of good and the full knowledge of evil. But it doesn't say over there in that verse that the snake was telling them that you'll be as holy as God. To be as holy as God is no, nobody would, even a snake, I don't think the snake would suggest it to them.
Okay.
Holiness is impossible.
The factor of Babel was that they wanted to be like God
reach him. They wanted to fight him. But like they say, all these things, no one's saying that they're going to be as holy as him. They're just saying that we're going to fight him. They're saying that we're going to reach him and we're going to start a war. But in holiness, I don't think any physical human being could contemplate being as holy as God. So what the Svasama says is like this. He says what it means is, of course, we'll never be as holy as God. But the thing that we would have thought is like this, that maybe my holiness is my own. Like Hashem's holiness is his own. Maybe the holiness that a Jew has is his own holiness. his own Kedusha. It's something that he has himself. Just like Hashem is holy, we are holy. Maybe that is what the Medrash is trying to say. Maybe a Jew would say to himself that we know that we're holy. We're a holy nation. But is that holiness our own, or is that holiness a God-given gift? Maybe I would have thought that that holiness is our own. And the Medrash says that that is not the case. The holiness is not our own. God's holiness is always above, and he is always the one giving it down to the people below. But we don't own it on our own. That is the point that the Medrash is trying to tell us. That the holiness that we have, it's all a God-given gift. Nothing we have is our own. Now, he goes on and he talks about Shabbos, something beautiful. And he says like this. The Zohar, the Holy Zohar writes that, he writes these words, very cryptic words. Right? We know that Korach came with a fight. He came with an argument. Now, the Holy Zohar writes that Korach came to argue on the concept of Shabbos. That's the words of the Zohar. I don't think he said, I didn't see this inside. I'm just seeing it quoted, but I don't think the Zohar expands in it too much. And if you look in the verses and the Psukim, doesn't seem to be any mention of that, that Korach came to argue on Shabbos. So where is this coming from, and where is this going, and what does this mean? He argued on the concept of Shabbos. How do we understand it? How do we understand this Zohar? So he says beautiful. He says like this. By Shabbos it says, who makes Shabbos holy? Do we make it holy, or does Hashem make it holy? Hashem makes it holy. Whatever we do, on the seventh day of the week, Shabbos will come, and Shabbos is a holy day. Our choice is, do we want to follow that holiness and act accordingly? But Shabbos is holy whether we like it or not. He can't put Shabbos on hold. He can't say that, you know, this week no Shabbos. Shabbos will come. And the Pasuk writes about Shabbos, that Shabbos is to teach us, ki ani Hashem mekadishchem, that I, Hashem, am the one that makes you holy. So he says like this. He says that what brings holiness into the week? Shabbos. If there wouldn't be a Shabbos, there would be no holiness brought down into the world, and the entire week would be void of holiness. But because there's a Shabbos from above, where Hashem sends down into the world an influx of holiness, of Kedusha, therefore there's holiness during the week. So he says like this. He says that Korach argued on Shabbos. He argued on this concept that anything we have could only come from above. He held that a Jew is holy on his own. We don't need Shabbos. We don't need an influx, a once a week influx from above. We have it all in us. Everything that we have, Korach was a God-fearing Jew. He believed in God, but he believed that God created the Jew, that the Jew is holy on his own right, without anything. And it was all his own. And he was like, what do we need Moshe for? What do we need Aaron for? Every Jew on his own is holy. Everything we have, maybe God created us with it, but at the end of the day, it's our own. We are the ones in charge of making ourselves holy. And Moshe told, and that means essentially he was arguing on Shabbos. Because Shabbos says that I, Hashem, am the one that brings holiness into the world. I give you a once a day influx of Kedusha that spreads into the week. And that gives the Jewish person Kedusha. But there's no such thing that we could do something on our own. And the only, not the only, but what do we have to do? What is our job? Our job is to awaken the desire from Hashem to give us Kedusha. That is my job. My job is to do an act down here that act will tell Hashem, give this guy down there Kedusha. Look what he just did. He is asking for a dose of Kedusha. But when we get it, it's from above. Everything we have is from above. Now, there's a famous quote that Chazal, our sages, teach us. That says like this. It says, Pischuli kechudash lamacha. It says that all a Jew's got to do is open up a opening the size of a needle. All Hashem asks of a Jew is to open up a little opening the size of a needle. And then Hashem says, I will then open for you a doorway as big as the entrance to a hall, a huge hall, a huge lobby. That means that Hashem is saying to the Jew a promise. You open up a little bit, teeny bit. All you got to do is open up a needle. A needle is not even my finger, nothing. Hashem says, you open up like a needle, I'll open up for you. Wide open door, it's all yours. Those are the words of our sages. Now, the Svasamas asks a fascinating question. And he says, if this concept is true, why is it that many, many Jews who are serving Hashem don't have this wide open door? That means, if you're telling me that all we need to do is one little needle, so every Jew that does a mitzvah, Hashem should automatically open up for that Jew the floodgates. And we don't see that. We see people who spend their entire lives slogging away, doing mitzvahs, trying to crack their heads open and understand a little bit of Torah and do some mitzvahs and be a good person. And we don't seem to see that Hashem is opening up for them the floodgates. So what happened to this promise? That all we got to do is open up a needle. And Hashem, you open a needle, Hashem says, I'll give you the rest. Why is a system, this promise, not seem to be working? That's what he asked. So he says something amazing. Sorry, he says it's definitely working. And here's our mistake. We think that when we do a mitzvah, we were able to do that mitzvah. We think that right now, me and you, we're all studying Torah together. We think it's possible for a human being to study Torah. And therefore we say that we're the ones studying the Torah right now. And why isn't Hashem sending down to us an influx of opening of understanding? You know, we're trying, we're struggling to understand the concept. We're studying the Torah. Why isn't Hashem doing it? And Svasama says is that we're making a mistake. He says we can't study Torah. We can't. The human being, this group right now, we have no ability to open up a Chumash or a Svasama and start understanding a concept which our body cannot understand. So what are we doing? What we're doing right now is we're just doing a needle. We're opening our mouths. We came here. We came here to learn. As we're speaking, Hashem is opening the floodgates for us. That means that the fact that we're able to study Torah together is Hashem opening the floodgates for us. I want to clarify my point. We think, I hope this comes clear because it's so different than what we normally think. We think that we're able to study Torah. So if we're able to study Torah, then Hashem should be then giving us the promise that he's going to give us way more. And we don't seem to be getting there. But what's wrong is, the misconception is that a Jew, a human being, cannot study Torah. Only Hashem could give a Jew any form of understanding in Torah. All we could do is open up a needle. When we're learning Torah right now, what we're really doing on our own is just a needle. We came, we're talking, we're trying. That's all that's happening. As we're speaking, as we're studying together, Hashem is sending us understanding after understanding after understanding. As we're speaking, Hashem is opening up the floodgate. So we have to understand that in everything that we do in our service of Hashem, what we're doing is just the needle. We're just being there. We're just saying that I am here and I want to be a receptacle to receive from above. But when it comes, it's all from above. Who gives a Jew the ability to keep Shabbos? We could do the act of keeping Shabbos. What gives us the power to receive this extra soul, to receive this unbelievable day called Shabbos? We can't do it. Hashem gives it to us as a gift. So what can we do? We could be there. We got to be there. We got to be the needle. We got to say to Hashem, I will be there. I'll be at shul. I'll be at home. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to make a meal. I'm going to do everything on my end to be there, and that is my needle. We have to realize that at the end of the day, who gave us Shabbos? Was it me? It was Hashem. Who I could put on my tefillin, but who's given me the ability to get something from those tefillin? Now, those tefillin should put some sort of kedusha inside me. I can't do that. I have no way, I have no formula in the world that allows me to extract holiness from the tefillin. All I could do is the needle. I could put them on and prepare myself and contemplate before I'm about to put on something holy. But who is going to give me the holiness from those tefillin? It's going to be Hashem. He'll give me the floodgates. Which means that everything we're doing is just to prepare ourselves to receive from above. Everything comes from above. And then he goes on and he says one of the Sfasamas' favorite verses, favorite psukim, and he goes on and he quotes this verse and he gives a little bit of an opening based on what we're learning about. This pasuk is the pasuk in Yechezkel. And the pasuk in Yechezkel says, let me find it over here. It's Perek Mem Vav. Here we go. Perek Mem Vav, chapter 46. I think we've read this many, many times. It says in Yechezkel, Komar Hashem Elokim, so says Hashem, Sha'ar HaChatzar HaPnimis, the gate of the inner courtyard, Hapona Kadim, that faces eastward. Yesagor Sheshes Me'amaseh. It's locked. There's a gate in the Beis HaMikdash. It's talking about the third Beis HaMikdash. And there's a gate in the third Beis HaMikdash, which is locked 6 days of the week. There's twice that gate, which went to the inside, the east side of the Beis HaMikdash, there's twice that gate was open. One of them was on Shabbos. V'yom HaShabbos Yipaseh. The day of Shabbos it was open. V'yom HaChodesh Yipaseh. And on Rosh Chodesh, that gate is open. So that means that there's a gate inside the Beis HaMikdash that faces eastward. It faces inner, towards the inside. And that gate is locked during the 6 days of the week. It's open on Shabbos, and it's open on Rosh Chodesh. So over the years, we've spoken about this many times and many different ways of saying the same point. But within the context of what we're saying tonight, let's understand it like this. He says that these two things called Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh are these two points. Rosh Chodesh is, Chodesh means new, means renewal. Rosh Chodesh is the time where we do our bit down here. We open up our gate. That means that we allow ourselves to be receptacles to receive. That is Rosh Chodesh. Shabbos, Hashem sends it down. Shabbos, Hashem opens His gate and He gives us holiness. Rosh Chodesh, we open up ourselves to receive. On Shabbos, Hashem gives us the Kedusha from above. So you have a gate inside the Beis HaMikdash which represents connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, receiving Kedusha. There's a gate that's open in Rosh Chodesh, and the gate is open in Shabbos. But those gates are, one of them is from our side, and one of them is from Hashem's side. On Rosh Chodesh, we renew ourselves. We say that I am going to be this month a person that Hashem will want to give to. That means I'm going to align myself with His will, that I should be the person to receive. But then on Shabbos, Hashem opens the gate and He says, here you go. Here you go. But if there wouldn't be a day called Shabbos, we wouldn't have anything. We wouldn't have anything. If Hashem would not decide to give us Kedusha, we would not have anything. And that is why Shabbos is called Chila L'Mikra Kodesh. Shabbos is called like the first one of all the festivals. Even though it's not really a festival. But the festivals would only have any holiness because of Shabbos. Shabbos is the start. Shabbos is everything comes down from above. Then the question is, are we going to be there to receive it? That is our job. So the difference between Korach's understanding and what Moshe and Aaron and Hashem was conveying to the people and to us is that Korach believed that what he had in the service of Hashem was his own. He acquired it. I did a mitzvah, I made myself holy. And we say there's no such thing. You did a mitzvah which allowed you to be a receptacle to receive Kedusha from above. But on your own, you don't have anything. If I were to ask you right now, buy for me some holiness, there's no such thing. It's not quantifiable. It's not something that the human being could attain. All we could do is say to Hashem that we want it, that we want to be the person that you'll give it to. But at the end of the day, everything that we have comes from above. He goes on to say that these two things that we're talking about are actually represented in the two types of Torah that we have. And this is amazing. He says that we have something called Torah Shebichtav, the written Torah, the five books. Right? Bereishis, Mos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Devarim, five books. And then we have something called Torah Shebaal Peh, which is the oral Torah, Torah that's transmitted mouth by mouth from rabbi to student who gives it over to his student. Now today, everything's written down because they decided that if we wouldn't do that, it would end up being forgotten. But really the way it's supposed to be It's really supposed to be that. It's given over, you know, mouth to mouth. You receive it from your teacher, then you give it over to your students, and that's how it goes through the generation. It's an oral Torah that goes over from person to person. And then we have the written Torah, which is the Chumash, the Sefer Torah that we have. There's the written Torah and the oral Torah. Now, these two things are not just, it happens to be that we have two types of Torahs. We have what you call the Gemara, the Mishnayos, and then you have the Chumash. It's not just happens to be that Torah Hashem set it up. But these two Torahs are actually these two concepts that we're talking about. Torah Shebichtav, the written Torah, is God's word himself. He wrote it. He said it. He dictated it. He gave it to us. That is what you would call the influx of holiness from above. The Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah, what we're doing with each other right now, is what we ourselves are doing down here. But when we discuss Torah down here together, what happens then is that we receive some Kedusha from the written Torah. I'll try and explain a little bit better what I'm saying. I see Rav David is nodding, which I hope what I'm saying is clear. I'll try and explain a little bit better. There's no such thing as a Jew who comes along and says, I want to write my own Torah. There's no such thing. You can't write your own Torah. You can't make up a new concept in Torah. Everything has to be sourced in the written Torah. So what does it mean that you have a written Torah which is this size, and you have an oral Torah which could fill up bookcases and bookcases, unlimited bookcases of Svarim? So what does this mean, but where does that come from? If you're not allowed to write anything new, which isn't in the written Torah, so what does this mean that people today will just write book after Sefer if it's not in the written Torah? So the answer is that it isn't the written Torah. But it just needs to be extracted. That means that you could have one word in the Torah, and that one word, if you would make it your life's mission to expound on that and to extrapolate from it and to understand it and to analyze it from all its angles, you would be able to write a book on that one word. But where does that, the end of the day, where is the holiness of your Sefer coming from? It's only coming from above, from the written Torah. But we have the ability to draw down from above into our lives holiness. So that means like this. We can't discuss Torah together unless it's sourced somewhere in the Torah. As an example of what we're doing tonight, we started off with Korach. The first two words of Parashas Korach is Vayikach Korach. Korach took. Now the Sfasamis spends pages and pages explaining what does it mean that Korach took. What it means is he took holiness and he made it himself as if it was his own. And he goes on everything that we spoke about tonight. But if you look in the Torah, it just says two words. It says Korach took. But the Sfasamis was able to analyze that and understand from there that what does that mean that he took? It means a concept that there's holiness which comes from above and there's holiness that people mistakenly believe is their own. And he went on to explain many, many different things with this one concept. All from two words in the Torah. But where is the holiness of the Sfasamis, this Dvar Torah coming from? It was coming from above, from the written Torah. But we have the ability to extrapolate and draw that down into us, into the world. So when we study Gemara, when we study Chumash together, what we're doing is we're bringing down from above Kedusha. We have the ability to draw it down, but we can never make the mistake and think that it's ours, that we created it. We are just able to do things that when you do things, it presses buttons that Hashem says, I want to send you down Kedusha. I want to send you down Torah. But at the end of the day, what part of it did we do? We were just the receptacles. We just pressed the buttons that allowed it to come down from above. I'm going to end with this. Give me one second. I bought a new Sefer, more than one, when I was on the East Coast. Went into the Sefarim store, which is dangerous. And I controlled myself, so I only got three. But I'll have to go back. I'm going to go back again. But for now, I bought, you know, a couple of Sfarim. One of the Sfarim I bought, I just opened it now. I was looking at it for my first time before I came on over here. The Sefer is called the Leshem Shuvo V'Achlama. Right? In short, it's called the Leshem. Now, the Lashem, he lived maybe 100 years ago, something like that. And he was one of the last, like, real Kabbalists that we have. You know what I'm saying? Today there are people that know, but he was, you would say, from the last ones who were big enough to, you know, really, write a sefer and write a codified way of understanding it. He was, you know, probably from the last one. His last name was Eliashiv, you know, Rebbe Eliashiv, the great sage who lived in Eretz Yisrael, who passed away recently. That this was his grandfather. Now, I'm giving you a little background. Now, the Lashem, this sefer, is unbelievable wisdom. Unbelievable. He knew at his age and his generation is really above and beyond. You know, he really opened up all the works of the Arizal, and he explained them line by line. And he really had, if I would have been the Lashem, right, I would have been pretty happy with myself. I mean, if I would have known what he knew, and my mind would be able to comprehend these mystical concepts, I would be pretty happy with myself. Now, I opened it up tonight for my first time, and you always got to read the introduction before you start. So even before the introduction, just on the front page, he writes just a little blurb about, you know, his sefer that he's about to write. And it's so eye-opening to read it. It's so apropos to what we're talking about. I'm going to read you his words. He says like this. He says, this sefer that I write is Shechanani HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God gifted me Rov Chasda V'tuva, with his abundant kindness and goodness. Me'otza gadol, from his large storehouse, shal matnas chinam, of gifts that we don't deserve. It says, ki hu achon edas, he is the one that gives us knowledge. V'chanan gam osi, and he even decided to favor me, lahevol dima, me, this lowly nothing, v'riya kala, this little, you know, little insect, nemucha lo shfala anish, and from the lowest of people, Hashem gave me this gift of the sefer from his storehouse of unlimited goodness to the undeserving person, which I think is amazing, because this is exactly the point that we're talking about. That this person, the Lashem, was such a big tzaddik. He was so great. He knew so much, but none of it got to him that he thought to himself that, you know, I worked hard and I acquired this knowledge and it's mine. It's not what he said. You feel his humility in just his opening line, that he writes that everything I got as a gift from above. Hashem gave it to me. What did I do to receive that? I worked hard. I'm sure he worked hard. I'm sure he spent many nights, if not all his nights, fighting sleep from his eyes to try and understand. But he understood at the end of the day, where did it come from? Where did this beautiful sefer come from? It came from Hashem, who decided to give it to the Lashem. Why did he give it to the Lashem? Because he worked hard and made himself a receptacle to receive it. But not for a second did he think that it was his own. It was all from Hashem. And really, I'm going to end over here, but really, we're going to have a Maariv, for those who didn't yet daven. And what we say in the Shemoneh Esrei is, Ata chonen l'adam das. You are the one that gives man wisdom. And then we ask Hashem, chaneinu me'itcha, please favor us with Deah, with knowledge, with Bina and understanding, with Haskell and wisdom. So what we're saying is that it's all from you. It's all from you, but you, all we could do is be there to receive it. So if I would summarize what we're saying is like this. We are holy. We have holiness. We're definitely a holy nation, and as individuals, we're holy. But we have to understand that everything we have is from Hashem. All we do is the needle. We come to the door. We tell Hashem we want it. We desire it. We're going to press all the buttons that will tell you, Hashem, to send it to me. But at the end of the day, everything we have is from Hashem. All holiness that we have in the world all comes down from above. It's all Hashem. He gives it to us. Korach said, it's my holiness. I acquired this wisdom. I rose. I did everything I could. It's mine. I'm the one that did it. Moshe told him, you're making a mistake. You think you have the ability to study Torah? How would a human being have the ability to study Torah? Torah is spiritual. You're physical. So go figure. How would you be able to learn Torah? So how do we learn Torah? The answer is we come and we sit there and we do our best, and Hashem sends us the Torah. That is what goes on. We open it. We open up with the needle just by coming to the door. By doing the mitzvahs, doing the physical act, and Hashem says, you do it, I will send you Shabbos. I'll send you Yom Tov. I'll open up the gates. I'll give you everything you need. All you got to do is come to the door. But don't then make a mistake and say that everything you have is your own. It's all from Hashem. How do you get it? You come to the door, you open up the little needle, Hashem opens up the floodgates. Making any sense?
Yeah, the Shekhar.
Thank you, thank you. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful point. Thank you all.
It's up to us to keep studying and not just reading Torah, but studying and trying to think about it. And hopefully by the time we're 120, we'll have picked up a few glimmering thoughts.
Absolutely. Yeah. I hope I'm not saying something which is not clear. Of course we need to. We need to work as hard as we can to understand the depths of the Torah to as much as we can. But we have to realize that when we get it, it was a gift. So what we're doing is the work. We're coming, we're sitting there, we're fighting off our tiredness, and we are using our brains as much as we can to try and get it. But when we get it, it's a gift from above. That's all we're saying. Of course, we can't just come and, you know, sit there and go, look what, you know, just read it. Because then Hashem won't give it to us. We need to sit there and we need to study the words and discuss it with each other and find ourselves a teacher and really work as hard as we physically can. But when we do that, Hashem will give it to us as a gift. That's what I mean to say.
Cool.
Good talk to you all.
Have a good Shabbat.
You too, and Carrie, feel better. Refer Shalema.
Thank you, thank you.
Have a Josh, Rav David, have a wonderful Shabbos. Thinking of you all. Looking forward to getting back together one day. Well, Rav David, what do you think you're, when would you be comfortable to do something? Face-to-face.
I don't know. At this point, I would not be...
You wouldn't, right? No pressure. No pressure at all. You got to stay safe.
Yeah. I'm just not able to do that or to bring it into the home. You know?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I would not want you to do something unsafe.
Yeah.
So, all right. You let us know if anything changes. And until then, we will be Zooming.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, have a good Shabbos.
You too.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Bye.